Track 4, Fashioning the Crown. Author Justine Picardy tells the story of the House of Windsor through the clothing choices of the women and the couturiers who created them in her fascinating new book.
She was one of the most photographed women in history. Whether she was leading a ceremonial occasion or a garden party, taking a day at the races or riding in Windsor Park, the late Queen Elizabeth was instantly recognised and dressed impeccably, her choice of outfit always declaring her presence and purpose. So when Justine Picardy was a guest at Balmoral and saw Her Majesty donning yellow rubber gloves on to get on with the washing up, well, she knew this might be the opportunity for a conversation. When we found ourselves alone, clearing up after a picnic lunch, I plucked up courage to speak and asked her about her former couturier, Sir Hardy Ames. He was believed to be an undercover agent in the war. Well, the Queen gave little away at the time, save to say that it was excellent cover for a spy to be a couturier. Well, although Justine says I would never have written about those conversations while she was still alive, the seed for a book was sown. Justine was visiting with her husband, Philip Astor, godson to the late Duke of Edinburgh. For Philip, invitations had punctuated his life from childhood. Visits to Buckingham Palace for parties, Balmoral for shooting lunches, summer holidays with the Queen Mother in Caithness. And he was such at ease that he could make the Queen laugh if he sat next to her at dinner. And she showed him many kindnesses too. But Justine did not have such familiarity. Like countless others before me, I became tongue-tied and inept when I met the Queen, says Justine. She was the most extraordinary presence. She was so natural, but so enigmatic. She had such modesty and humility. And when one looked at Queen Elizabeth II, she didn't have to say a word. She could do it through what she wore. She had learned that from infancy onwards, from her parents and grandparents, as they responded to serious existential threats to the throne in the two world wars and the rise of fascism and the abdication. Well, Justine decided to describe the progress of the House of Windsor through the clothing choices of the women and the couturiers who created them, while also charting her own response to her discoveries in her new book, Fashioning the Crown, a story of power, conflict and couture. Hopefully the readers will feel like they're coming on a journey with me, she says. She tells of how, from 1917, when the royal family adopted the name of Windsor, Queen Mary chose to use British dressmakers and textiles to counter the anti-German feeling during the First World War. There's an account of how Queen Elizabeth, that was the future Queen Mother, commissioned a white wardrobe from Norman Hartnell when she was mourning the loss of her mother on a state visit to France as war loomed in 1938. There are details of the impact of the extraordinary style choices of the Duchess of Windsor, challenging the conservatism of the royal family. And the story culminates with Queen Elizabeth II. In addition to the majestic ceremonial gowns, embedded with significance, and the monochrome outfits which she adopted for official duties, the Queen also used clothing as a disguise. For several nights around VE Day and then VJ Day, Elizabeth wore her ATS uniform and was able to join other women in London as their equal, becoming an ordinary person, briefly during the war. It was her Cinderella moment in reverse, her brief taste of anonymity, says Justine. Well, there are stories here, too, of the British couturiers who flourished because of royal patronage, like Norman Hartnell and Edward Molyneux, and their lives outside fashion, like Hardy Ames and his wartime espionage. Justine had met Ames when she was working at Vogue, and her mother also knew him. In writing the book, Justine approached the owner of his estate and accessed his letters and also some recordings of his conversations. He's this extraordinary character who was a brilliant designer and a spy. Very few serious historians look at history through the prism of what people wear, she says. And there's something so intimate in clothing and jewellery. I mean, they're worn next to our skin. And obviously, people think about the iconic talismanic pieces of clothing like a wedding dress or a christening robe, a first party dress. But there's also what we wear on an everyday basis. Now, I'm interested in the timeless messages of clothing, which can be both subliminal and more obvious in what we wear. Justine visited the Royal Archives at Windsor and the Cambridge Archives, holding the diaries of photographer and designer Cecil Beaton and actress and socialite Lady Diana Cooper. She also asked to see significant pieces of the late Queen's wardrobe. Well, these were in the process of being catalogued for an exhibition that opens in the King's Gallery at Buckingham Palace in April, marking the centenary of the late Queen's birth on April the 21st, 1926. You know, it's so magical and extraordinary, Justine says of the experience of seeing and handling, with white gloves, of course, all these artefacts. The ink on paper that has been handwritten, and the clothes have been sewn by hand, and you think of the people who made them, as well as the people who wore them. It's such a privilege. Justine is the author of 7 books, including the best-selling and acclaimed Miss Dior, a story of courage and couture, and Coco Chanel, The Legend and the Life. There have also been 2 memoirs, one telling a life through clothes in My Mother's Wedding Dress, and her seminal book on loss and grief, If the Spirit Moves You, telling the story of her sister's death at just 33 from breast cancer in 1997. Both Ruth and Justine were journalists, and their love of writing began in childhood when they would make little books and magazines. Sharing a story goes all the way back to my relationship with my sister. I still think about Ruth every single day, she says. Justine's career began with her being an investigative reporter on the Sunday Times, and then as a columnist for the Daily Telegraph and editor of the Observer magazine, before becoming features director of Vogue and editor-in-chief of Harper's Bazaar. Fashion was always an interest, even from childhood. Her mother married a little black dress created from a Chanel pattern. She was very stylish, very, very stylish. We lived in central London in the swinging 60s, and she made a lot of her clothes, but she also dressed at Bieber. Well, drawing on aspects of her life for her books, Justine also invites an audience to view day-to-day events on social media. It's a piece of writing every day, and just comes naturally to me, she says of her Instagram posts. I'm trying to create a kindly, gentle community online, and it's a really good way of maintaining an authentic relationship with people who are reading my books, as well as letting them know when I'm speaking at a literary festival. Well, followers of her posts are welcomed into the household at the old rectory, her home on the Norfolk-Suffolk border, each evening. She'll share what she's cooking that night, and the flowers and the vegetables that she's collected from the garden, and what she's watching on TV. And there are images from the dog walks, and even Philip making the bed on occasion. And every Friday, there is a visit to the grog tray, where Philip mixes up a cocktail with their black Labrador Juno at his feet. I love our life here. I love the quietness, says Justine. And I love the sense of connection with the landscape, and there's something very lovely about rectories. My husband found this house and it just felt right. They've immersed themselves in village life, with Justine making cakes for fates and Philip involved in the parish council and playing the bagpipes for local events. Well, that's his Scottish side. He's really very good, and he's played pipes for the late Queen and for her mother, the Queen Mother. And he's always being asked for Remembrance Day services in the church or for Burns Night. He's happy to do something for the community. It's an idyllic picture of their life. But how did she feel about sharing so much online? It was with COVID. We just moved here and I think, like everybody, I was feeling so wobbly that it was a way of reaching out to other people and just saying, I understand. And she cheerily concludes each message, waving from the Waveney Valley. Fashion in the Crown by Justine Picardy is published by Faber and is priced at £25.